Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. It's September, and this week the podcast is brought to you by something to get excited about as the summer ends. Tin and Dewey-Ebb, a regular comedian on this podcast, has got a new special. It's called The World is Full of Idiots, Let's Live in Space. And you can get it now on VHX and at tinanddeweyebb.co.uk. Let me spell that for you.
Do it.
TIERNANDIOUEB. EB, sorry. .co.uk. I'm so sorry to Tiernan. T-I-E-R-N.
T-I-E-R-N-A-N-D-O-U.
No, D-I-O-U.
D-O-U, isn't it? D-O-U-I-E-B. I-E-B.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Ben spelled it with an I in his email to me. Damn it. Wow. Messed this up. Tiernan Dewey-Ebb. Tiernan Dewey-Ebb, exactly as it sounds, actually, .co.uk. I've started watching it when he sent it to me, and I think it's excellent. It looks beautiful, and the jokes are funny, and that's what you want from a stand-up comic. Check it out. The world is full of idiots. Let's live in space. Get it now, tiernandeweyebb.co.uk. Well, this week we're going to be talking about Daredevil, Marvel's darkest, perhaps, or one of the darkest TV series, I suppose. And we'll be joined by others. Right now it's me and Jamie, Howell and Jamie, back in the saddle. That's what we've been
right
waiting
a bit.
For. My dad went into a barber shop in Chorley in Lancashire, England, this week, and they said, oh, I wish your son had never stopped on the radio. It's been rubbish since.
Yeah. So, well, what can we say?
What can we say?
You're still on radio, aren't you? Though your dad should have told him that you can get you on digital.
He did. He told him. I told him that I was on XFM in Manchester, which I'm not. I'm on XS Manchester, which is a different station altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Are you all right?
I've got to say, this week it's been a hectic week in the life of a future father. I've barely watched any TV this week, and I hate not watching TV. But mainly because I've been to so many different baby classes. I've been to two. I went to two breastfeeding classes in the space of 2 days.
What?
I have spent the last 2 days staring at middle-aged women, mainly midwives, boobs, as they explain how to get a baby to suckle. And actually, it's a very difficult process. It's not as simple as you might think, and can be quite stressful for the mother. But yeah, I've watched a lot of midwives' chestal areas as they, and I've just stared at women's boobs, and you're allowed to do it in that environment. And I'm not in any way doing it in any kind of like erotic way. It's just got to stare at them because that's what the point in that and directing the main focus of the course to.
What does the teacher like get their boobs out and?
No, but they have like they usually use their boobs. They'll get a fake baby and they'll use their boobs to show you. Well, they won't get the boob out, but the boob will be behind the whatever they're wearing, and they'll show you where the baby would fix its.
Self
to their boobs. I'm just there thinking, and one of the women yesterday was like proper like, you know, cupping herself, and just thinking, I've just been watching this woman's boobs for like the last 40 minutes.
And
this is just weird.
Are there a lot of men in those classes?
No, Howell, I'm the only. Yeah, there's other men there. There's other men there. I was really nervous that I was going to be the only man. But turns out there's some other pretty considerate fathers out there as well.
So, yeah. You swapped TV for boobs.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't fun. Like, sounds fun when you say it like that, but it wasn't fun. It was educational. I mean, I tell you what, Mother's Milk is amazing. It makes you wonder why they didn't. You know, I'm not that I'm trying
it.
I'm just
quote of the year.
It's an amazing. I tell you, the antibodies, the goodness it provides for a newborn baby cannot be beaten by any medical innovation ever been created. All natural. I tell you, our body makes things that technology will never surpass. Never.
How necessary do you feel these classes are? Again, for it's me, that thing of humans surviving giving birth for many hundreds of years before a class was invented for this.
I know. A lot of it is more about meeting other baby people and talking to them. You know, it's mainly for the mothers because, you know, they can all meet. She can meet other mothers. They can have a WhatsApp group. They can all. But if they're up at 3 a.m, stressed out with baby trying to suckle, they're all be in the same boat. So it's more about finding other mothers to sort of share your stresses and strains.
Yes.
So there's a bit of that. There is some things you do genuinely learn that you think, wow. But probably not enough to go to 2 classes in a week. But there you go.
I can just see you sat silently pale-faced in these classes. Oh, dear. What has happened in such a short space of time? You've gone from a man who can't use a windscreen washer to a man who's responsible for another life.
I know.
God help us
Scary
all.
Times, yeah, you know.
Well, I've just received a text from a random number saying, "Hello, your Apple account is temporarily locked. Visit, and then a website, and unlock it." And I think this is a spam.
It's a cheat. It's a spam.
It's spam, isn't it?
I think it's a spam thing, yeah. Do not click on that link.
Well, these people should be arrested.
They should be, Howell, but they're sly like a fox.
I'm going to try and buy a song on my Apple ID right now.
Just to prove it works.
Just to prove it works. And then I feel like we should ring the number that texted it and see. Yeah, it's working fine. Absolute shit.
Scam.
These people should be arrested. This is a disgrace. I've just bought Sia featuring Kendrick Lamar. I didn't even want it.
I bet it's a good song, though. Two incredible artists.
He's a great artist. You're absolutely right.
Just some TV news.
Why don't you give us some TV news? Should we get Matt Wandless on to join us? Because he's
bring him on.
He's there, ready and waiting.
Okay.
With his.
Bet the first thing he does is breathe extremely heavily and rather lustfully.
Welcome to North London.
Hello, Howell.
There it is. There we go.
There's a lusty breath of a man who's might be perverted.
Says the man who's just described sitting looking at breasts all week in breastfeeding classes. Did you have to?
I've been on 2 breastfeeding courses this week.
Did you have to do that, Matthew, when you had a child?
No. I mean, we had one session of our NCT group where a woman who, I kid you not, was called Tracy Leakes. she came in and talked to us about breastfeeding. But no, I don't think I ever saw the boobs of anyone in my NCT class. But also by then, like, for that year and a half of your life, breasts become something entirely different. They become functional and utilitarian. They're not fun for a good 18 months, I'd say. I don't mean that in the sense of like just at sexy times, but like I just couldn't look at boobs in the same way that I used to all the time, and now I do again.
Oh dear, every time you speak I think of Marsha objecting. I have no idea why.
No, Marsha and I, we get each other, it's great.
Yeah, I know. We've not had Marsha on here for ages, slacker. I hope she returns soon. Alright, well, Jamie was about to give us the news, so let's see what's in the world of the news. And while you're doing it, we might have other people appear. Carry on, carry on.
Not got much on the news department because of the boob sesh that I've been having in breastfeeding world. Yeah. So I do have to. I put up on the boxsetpod.com/news Jude Law's latest drama that's coming to Sky Atlantic. I think it's next month in October. They've just released a trailer for it. It's called The Young Pope. It's a new 10-episode series. Jude Law is the Pope. It's been directed by Paul Sorrentino, an Oscar-winning director. He did The Great Beauty. I've not seen this. This is a film that was out a couple of years ago. It's meant to be brilliant. Anyway, this is a fictional story of the first American Pope, Pius VIII. Jude Law's in it. Diane Keaton's in it as Sister Mary. And the trailer looks really interesting. I put a really good line in the bit of news. By the looks of the trailer, this Pope is a bit of a loose cannon.
That is good.
I was so proud of that. You wouldn't believe.
Jack's here. Our work experience boy. Do you get that joke?
No.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Too young.
You can Google it. Carry on, Jamie.
I'm just about to put up some news as well about Game of Thrones related. Tenacious D, aka the band made up of Jack Black and Kyle Gass, they're a comedy rock band.
I think we know who Tenacious D are.
Under the pseudonym Valerium Steel, have released a new audio tribute to Jon Snow. It's called Ode to Jon Snow, a campaign song. It's just an instrumental track, but it's just encapsulates Jon Snow and the power of his brilliance.
Can't wait to hear that.
The website. It's a great tune.
Can you just say that word again that begins with Suda?
Pseudonym.
Well done. Right, you were just being silly.
Right?
You said pseudonym, and I just wondered if you'd always thought it was pseudonym.
That's my pseudonym. do you want a brief update on my Game of Thrones status?
Oh, yeah, where are you up to?
Oh.
Well, unfortunately, after last week's news that I'd got back in and I thought I'd found that I was in series 5, that turned out to be untrue.
Oh.
the site that I was watching it on, a perfectly legal site, called series 1, series 0. So I was in fact at the end of series 4, and all that enthusiasm that I had thinking I was going into season 6. I'm mired in season 5 now. But actually, you know what? We're churning through at a fair rate of knots. We've got maybe 4 or 5 episodes under our belt now.
Good. Season 5 is a tough one, I think, though. It's quite philosophical and talky and indulgent.
Well, thankfully, I think the large break has meant that I'm finding it easier to tolerate.
Okay. He's fired up. Well, you've got the fantastic season 6 on the way, so...
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Excellent. Good. I read a review of our podcast. We would love you to go and review our podcast on iTunes or however you do it. Click the review button if you listen to it on theboxsetpod.com. I read a review that was scathing. It basically said, excellent idea for a podcast. The problem is there's always people on who haven't watched the thing at all, and is constantly held up by the lack of wanting to spoil things. So there's a new rule on this podcast that is, if you haven't watched one episode, you are not welcome here. Matt, I just need to check, have you watched at least one episode of Daredevil?
Yes.
Excellent. And Jack, I know you have. You're the guinea pig today.
Yeah.
Excellent. Are you all right, Jack? Is life okay with you in young world?
Yeah, life's not too bad. Just planning to go back to uni.
Oh, thanks, Jack. We've had enough of you. Tiernan, how are you? Tiernan did say hello and then disappeared. Tiernan's
diabetic, so his reactions are very slow.
Oh. Tiernan, have a Mars bar.
He's still just taking it in. He's still just.
Oh dear. Well, I'm sure Tiernan will speak to us when he can.
It's all right. I've worked. I've still working. Hello.
There you are. Why do you always have connectivity issues?
Because when I do my podcast, I keep forgetting what the settings are and I change them all. And then when you guys call for this one, I've got them in the wrong order.
I see. Both yeah. fascinating and dull at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Well done on your special. I've not watched it yet, but it looks great. I watched the trailer, and we've already plugged it, so congratulations.
Oh, tough. Well, all the looking good is Ben's fault. He's very good at that. He did it on one of the cameras had Star Wars sand in it, but he won't tell me from which planet, and it's made me sad ever since.
Wow.
Excited. But yeah, no, it's all good. People seem to like it, so that's what you want, isn't it?
He won't tell you from which planet. Those Disney contracts are solid and terrifying.
Yep.
If you get sand on your clothes or your equipment, you may not tell people which planet the sand comes from.
Very good. Right, Daredevil time. Jack, why don't you try and set this up for us? For anyone who hasn't seen Daredevil, we're in the Marvel Universe, and what's the setup? What do you know so far?
Okay, so it follows Matt Murdock, and we see his day-to-day job as being a lawyer. And as the sun goes down, we see his alter ego as the kick-ass Daredevil with his heightened senses and just takes the law into his own hands and kicks ass.
Did you mention he's blind?
Oh, yeah, he can't see. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Quite key to this one. So he is blind, but as you say, he has super heightened senses, having had something happen to him as a child and then honing his skills, which we will learn about future episodes. So, Jack, where do you stand so far?
It's all right. It's not the best. It's very different to anything Marvel that I've seen before, especially with the violence in it as well. It seems to almost go on a bit too long. And he's not a very good superhero. That's the conclusion I've come to.
Okay, why? Go on.
Because if you pitted him against Tony Stark and Iron Man, mm-hmm. he would lose.
Well, you pretty much pit anyone against Tony Stark and they're going to struggle, aren't they?
Well, even Captain America.
What about Spider-Man?
From the Avengers.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But then you've mentioned the violence. I mean, he can kick ass.
Yeah, but the other thing that annoys me, I've not actually seen it yet in the episode that I've watched, but he has possibly one of the worst superhero outfits I've ever come across.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking.
Right, but what do you mean you've not seen it yet?
Well, in the first episode that I've watched, I've only watched one episode.
He doesn't don the suit, so you've just seen pictures on the internet, have you?
Yeah.
You're not slagging off the black rags. You're actually slagging off the full on red leather suit.
Oh no, yeah, the red leather suit. I mean, who needs that?
It is incredible that they've managed to make like any superhero suit look decent on screen, though, because it's essentially just spandex, isn't it? Often with your pants on the outside. Most of them would look rubbish in real life.
That's true, although I am partial to some lovely spandex being being brought up on
especially
both
in the warm weather, eh?
Gladiators and Baywatch with my teenage years. But moving on from that, Jack, doesn't his costume look exactly the same as Deadpool's costume?
Yeah, but Daredevil has a good sense of humour, which makes up
you mean Deadpool?
His lacking costume.
Yeah.
Whereas Matt Murdock, I don't know.
Okay.
And the other thing that annoys me about it is that I don't actually like the Hell's Kitchen world, and I hate how everything seems to be filmed with a purple, dark sepia lens over the top of it.
Right, we've got a number of issues to deal with. Darkness, Hell's Kitchen, which is obviously a real place. It's set in the real world of New York, isn't it, I think? And what was the first criticism you made?
Violence.
Violence, yeah, okay.
Is that a criticism? I thought you seemed a little bit encouraged by that.
It's
like,
not
it was just different.
It's not necessarily a criticism, it almost felt like it went on a bit too long. It was dragged out.
Okay,
so is your experience of Marvel thus far just the movies?
Yeah.
Okay. So, does anyone else have a problem with the violence in Daredevil?
I have no problem with the violence in Daredevil. It's
probably my favourite bit.
Jamie?
Yeah, I would definitely say that one of my major strengths of the show is the violence and the way it's portrayed, actually. I think they're really, really good at delivering a reality to the violence as well. So I'm quite surprised that that's one of you.
Well, Jack, I have to say, I thought everyone was going to be opposite there, because I had a problem with it, actually. I've often thought it's not that I don't like extreme violence, but I think part of the point of this series is that he is very violent, that he can take on anyone, and that it's very... Well, it's supposed to be very real, but the problem is, could anybody fight for that long without at least pulling a hamstring? I doubt it. It's very, very complex choreography, and yeah, part of my timer runs out and goes, okay, this is a bit long now. I understand him doing four people, but the 12th person down the corridor that he takes on and backflips over, I start to get desensitised, or I start to go, oh, is it, it's a bit unnecessary, this.
Yeah, but do you not feel with that scene, that scene, you can see he's struggling, he's knackered,
yeah,
he's tired out, he's on his last legs, and yet he's still fighting and he's still carrying. I love that's actually the one scene, that was the scene in the show where I went, oh, I really like this.
I think in the pilot, but I'm talking about, I'm talking later down the line, there's a lot of
especially
scenes like
the one
that.
The one in episode two that's got a particularly, which goes on particularly long, but is, I think, particularly brilliant. But I think isn't a big part of this show, and I think all the Netflix series, which I guess is probably going to change when Luke Cage comes along, but he's more of a vigilante than a superhero.
Exactly.
That's the point to this.
That's
the Avengers
where this
are superheroes.
Sits,
they are incredibly strong and have magical powers and things like that, whereas Daredevil is essentially a blind guy with heightened skills and martial arts training, but he's not a superhero in the same sense. And so a lot of the show is about the fact that it's his own stubborn desire to kind of deal with his own guilt and his own kind of issues with the city and the place he lives in. You know, he's not big enough to be able to deal with that himself. And so we have to see him lose in fights, and we have to see him get the crap beaten out of him as well. You know, that's...
Well, that is largely... You're largely right, but there is, of course... I don't think we get it in the pilot, but there is something supernatural that happens in his past. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, no, it is in the pilot. The pilot shows you his origin story very quickly.
Yeah, so there is an element of spider-biting, Spider-Man. Yeah. But yes, you're right. That kind of is the point. It's like it's gone, what happens... Like, last week we were talking about Gotham and saying it's in a very gothic, very cartoon world, whereas this one, it's trying to be super... Well, it's trying to seem very, very real. So the fighting is very real and the world is very real. But I'm not sure if it fulfills that brief entirely. Or it kind of...
It's also, you know, bear in mind, his, and not to ruin anything beyond episode one, but like the bad guys in this are more real as well. It's not a villain like in Jessica Jones who's got telepathic powers. It's a corrupt underworld, and so that has to be dealt with, I suppose, in a more... I mean, not that it's like The Wire, but you know, that's the kind of thing they're going for. In that, this is a gritty New York kind of justice series.
But
I guess,
after a while, don't you find that the grit just starts to stick a bit too much on your skin, and you kind of just go, and like they prolong the whole Lois Lane not knowing who Superman is. They prolong that for a long time, and a part of me just goes, oh, it kind of renders his business partners almost useless characters, because you don't really... Do you know what I mean? In a traditional thing, you would see a lot of... So he's a lawyer, yeah? He's trying to set up a law firm. You see very little. It feels like you spend very little time on the law side of it, because we're just more interested in his other life. So there's just these two, what are supposed to be main characters that we're invested in and we feel things for. We don't really feel that much from, because they're just ignorant of his situation, and we don't really spend much time with him.
I don't know if I agree with that, Howell. You see them investigating stuff, and you see them kind of coping with the ramifications of his the inadequacies that are thrust upon him because he is also Daredevil.
You do a bit.
And his shortcomings because of that. You know, you definitely do, certainly in the second series.
Yeah, you definitely do, especially in, yeah, and later on in the first series as well, definitely.
Well, yeah,
I take your point, though, Howell. But I also don't think you want to see people filing briefs either.
No, I want to see... you don't have to see that. I mean, look at Columbo. He managed to do it. Or Perry Mason, rather. You know, we could have had some great, simple courtroom dramas. Oh, the opportunity's missed.
You get those as well later in the series, second series as well. No, you definitely, there's a whole thing with the trial in the second series.
With Frank Castle and, all that storyline, definitely. Mm. I mean, I think part of my, it's funny you say it, because I think part of my problem with the first series was that sometimes there's too much time spent on his associates when I wanted to see him kicking the crap out of ninjas far more often.
Really?
But it's, they try, I suppose it's that whole thing. It comes from a Frank Miller comic book, and Frank Miller, when he did Daredevil, it's very like Sin City. It's really dark and grimy, and Frank Miller also did like The Dark Knight. It had that kind of feel to it, and I think in this first series they've tried to dampen that a bit to make people go, some of the characters are affable as well, there's some emotion to this, it's not just an extremely violent, dark, nasty kind of comic book,
I suppose that our job here is to give encouragement or otherwise to Jack whether he should carry on, and I suppose what I'm driving at personally is that I never ask this, but I'm going to ask it now. For me, if I was to give this a mark out of 10, I'd go, it's a good 6. Could anyone beat that?
Well, I'd go for an 8, but I'm fully aware that I have Marvel comic bias, I fully like everything they do except for Thor 2, which was horrific, but and Age of Ultron, also terrible. But generally, I love it for the extra Marvel value, the Easter eggs that are put in throughout. So, but I especially by the end of series 1, I think it's a series that suffers from having too many episodes, like a lot of the Marvel, well, like Jessica Jones did as well.
Perhaps that's my problem. It feels like I jumped into a dirty pool, which was interesting at first, and then I just went, I just feel a bit dirty now and I can't really be bothered. It just felt maybe a bit long. But that said, I've watched both first and second series, so, persuade me, Jamie, persuade me. Two series?
I'm about 2 or 3 into season 2 now, and I think it's probably around a 7. I think it's... I think it's better than maybe you feel it might be, Howell, because I think, you've stuck with it. I really liked it. I really like the main character played by, I've forgotten his actual name. Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock. And
It sounded like you said Charlie Cockbags, which is a great name.
I also really like...
That's what his friends call him.
I really like the writer, Drew Goddard. I like a lot of the other stuff he's worked on. He wrote the script for The Martian, the Matt Damon film, and I think that's a brilliant... I love that film. He wrote World War Z. He wrote The Cabin in the Woods. He's worked on Lost and Cloverfield. So I really like him, and I like a lot... I think the dialogue... It sounds a bit cheesy, but it's really well done, and I like the extra characters around it. I think they've got good bad guys, and they've got sort of there's something unique about it that stands out, holds together really well.
I don't know what that is, because I feel like the uniqueness is the idea of a blind guy being a superhero is awesome. But for me, that's all it's got. It's kind of, it's really well made and everything. When it comes to putting it on, I kind of go, what is it? What is this giving me in the subtext?
It's the main guy, Matt Murdock. And I think what does really well in the show is he isn't just a guy with superhero kind of bat-like senses. He's a fighter. Ultimately, that's the thing. He's a fighter. He's got heart. He loves the place, Hell's Kitchen. He wants to save it, and he means the best, and he cares so much, but he has that grit and determination. Like, his father was a boxer, and he has that mentality that he'll never go down, he'll go down swinging. And I like that character. I quite like that characterization, and I think they pull it off really well in the TV show.
Oh, I'm sorry, but the person you called...
Sorry, that's me ringing Jack's mobile because he got cut off, but he's appeared again anyway. So.
Sorry, yeah, I lost you for a second then. Yeah. What I was about to say... Sorry, go on.
I heard that voice. I thought Mel was on the show.
What were you going
to
say, Jack?
What I was about to say was, what did you all think of Foggy, the character?
It's a difficult one to answer that, because I really... Foggy is a good character in the comics, but I think he's lousy in this show.
He's a bit foggy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
He's really irritating. Yeah. Just to chip in with my two cents, I think I tend to lean towards Howell in this one. Like, I'm a big fan of Daredevil, and I sort of started reading the comics in the build up to this coming out and got into it a lot, and it's really good. And certainly some of the later stuff is really interesting, because one of the things they don't take advantage of enough is that this is a guy who is kind of literally taking justice in his own hands, because he's a lawyer and a vigilante. There's some sort of fascinating stuff in the later stretches of the comic where he's Daredevil is being is wanted by the law, and is sort of the people are trying to put him on trial, and Murdoch is representing himself in that kind of thing, and they don't play with that enough in this. And it really annoys me that a show can feel unwelcome after 10 episodes when there's this much there to explore.
Now that is a great pitch. That's what I'm saying. I felt like the law office has a bigger part to play, and it's not, so it just annoys me a bit. It feels like there's still a start-up business with no business at all at the end of season one, or, you know, it feels like it took a long time for that stuff to go, and that we're not really supposed to care about it. It's fascinating too that the comics did play on that, because that is the deeper theme. It's when if you have the choice, most vigilante characters don't have the choice between doing something formally and informally. They just are the informal, whereas the decision that he would have to make between those two worlds, that is an interesting idea behind it all. But I didn't get that at all from any of it. I didn't get the feeling that he debated that until season two, probably.
I was going to say, that comes in a lot more in season two, though. I do feel like that element of it is far more prescient, kind of once the season two storyline kicks off.
Even then, he just ends up fucking things up in the legal world. Because of his Daredevil activities, and that's just, it's not particularly interesting.
Yeah, that is true.
The sound of nobody being able to defend it. It's a dead duck. Don't watch it. This series
is a bag of shit.
Put it away, Jack.
I absolutely wouldn't say that, because both you and I, Howell, have watched both series of it, despite feeling how we do. So there is something compelling about it.
But it's because I just feel like we're wishing it well.
No, I don't think that's true. I certainly wouldn't do that.
Why the hell are you two still watching it when you clearly hate it?
This is what I'm trying to put my finger on, because I don't hate it. And I really like the action in it. Although I think it got a little bit ridiculous towards the end of the second series. Frank Castle, who they introduced in the second series, is brilliantly done, a really good character. And I think the guy who plays him, Chap from The Walking Dead, I can't think of his name, does a very good job.
He's great.
I didn't like the supernatural stuff they brought in the second series. I've always associated Daredevil with being very, very rooted in reality. And like in contrast to what you're talking about with Gotham and like the Christopher Nolan Batman versus, say, the Tim Burton Batman, Daredevil is a gritty character, even in the comics, even in the beginning, really. If you look at the first 10 or so episodes of Spider-Man, it's crazy. It's like it's for 5-year-olds. But then by the time it gets to, you know, really late in the series, it's very, very adult. Whereas Daredevil's always been fairly dark. But what was I going to say? The Kingpin as well is the other real hook on which you can hang your hat for this series, because
Vincent D'Onofrio is amazing. I think.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, fantastic.
Vincent D'Onofrio, that's his name, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great character, and he doesn't come in for the first few episodes, does he? But Jack, I think you'll really that will appeal to you, because there's a real Peaky Blinders quality to this.
that's the art of persuasion.
there is a kind of gangland feel to it, where this is a city that's full of corruption, and you really get to get under the skin of the man who's got his finger on the button.
I also think it's really worth pointing out that it's for good or for bad. You know, Marvel are creating this universe. This does tie into Jessica Jones. That's going to tie into Luke Cage. They are bringing it together in the Defenders. So every season of each individual superhero is only part of a much bigger story. And that's probably annoying to some people, but I find that incredibly exciting, you know, that you're watching this knowing that it is building to much, much bigger things.
Absolutely. And I think I think it's great when you can have a series that you bring something to like that. For example, Mel started me on the Gilmore Girls, and I'm watching it every night at the moment before bed. It's made me cry.
I really
cry.
Like the violence in the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, it's my favourite, yeah.
Oh, when someone smashes a snowman in the town square, oh my God, all hell breaks loose. But there are things I could criticise about it, but it's a world that there's a big part of me that really enjoys going to that world and being in that world. We've talked about these things before. We've also talked many times about the 4-episode rule, and that exists for two reasons, I think. One, that you can't get into a world very well on episode one, but two, because a show needs to figure itself out. So I finished Parks and Rec this week, everybody. Finally finished Parks and Rec, every episode, and it's brilliant. And I said to Sarah, let's go back, because everyone says the first season isn't very good. Let's go back and watch the first episode and see if now we know about the characters it's different. So I put the theory to the test. Went back. It was rubbish. It really was. They were trying to do realism like The Office, and that turned into something much funnier later down the line. The problem with Daredevil, for me, is that unless you bring to it that what Tiernan's got, or what I had watching it, which was always wanting it to be slightly better than it was, I feel like their style is that they've gone for realism. They've tried to say, let's make it a real nasty world with nasty violence, and like this could actually exist in Hell's Kitchen in New York. And characters like Foggy and the girl and that world, I don't think they ever achieve it. I don't think they ever achieve realism. They can't get away from some characters are very comic book and much bigger and broadly drawn. And then some characters are like they've walked in off the set of Walking Dead, I don't think it ever quite achieves what it wants, and that's my problem with it, even though I've watched two series. So
I think you're right, and you stick with it because you think it might.
Yeah. And so,
and there are moments when it does, actually. I think there are moments when it does.
I feel like, you know, with Gotham, I really found a reason last week to persuade people to carry on going. With this one, I still can't say if Jack's got a shelf of options in front of him. It would be way down the list of being bothered. Jamie, let me turn it back on you. You have stopped halfway through season two. Is that because you've got busy, or is there something else going on?
Well, yeah, I've got a bit busy. I mean, I lost a bit of momentum with the show.
Why?
I'm going to go back to it. Like, I'm not saying goodbye to the show. I've just pressed pause on my watching session, and I still recommend it. I really enjoyed it. I do feel, yeah, there are flaws. It's not perfect, but I feel like it's better than Gotham. I feel like from what I've experienced so far of Gotham, which is only like a couple of episodes, but I feel like I'm more drawn to it than I am drawn to Daredevil than Gotham. So I feel like that swings it my way a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose. But then you've watched a lot more of this one.
Yeah, that is true. I genuinely like the way the violence is handled, and I like Charlie Cox as the guy, and I think they've done a fairly good job. Obviously, you know, I have no comic book knowledge at all. I've never read anything, any comics about Daredevil. I've just seen the Ben Affleck film, which was horrendous.
A disaster.
So Jack, my expectations were quite low. So,
Jack, they've done good. Sorry, Jamie.
That's it. No, I'm done.
I was just going to ask Jack where you are with Marvel, and I mean, you've just watched those movies. You never read any of the comics or anything.
Never read any of the comics, and I have actually seen the Daredevil film, and again, I agree, it was absolutely shocking. And
that was
the other thing that I watched a few episodes of Jessica Jones and thought that was a bag of crap. Which
oh really?
And I knew it was set in the same place, the same time, and I went into this Daredevil with a bad attitude. So that's probably affected.
It feels like the same world, actually. It does feel like they could walk into each other's set quite comfortably.
Jessica, well, they could. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Is it?
Yeah, because
that's disappointing to hear about Jessica Jones. What did you not like about that?
David Tennant.
No way. That's the one reason you should have liked it. I'm disappointed.
He does try very hard, David Tennant, doesn't he? He's
almost
a lot of
too
energy.
Hard.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He's doing a really lovely, understated performance in that show, I think.
Is he? I need to carry on with that. But, Jack, I understand. I have a love-hate relationship. I think he's phenomenally talented. I really do. I just can never get... I can never get the fact that it's definitely David Tennant acting out of my mind while I'm watching him. I'm never quite immersed in his character.
Wow.
I think if you carry on with that, his character's great because he has this ability to control people, and as you go along, there's a comedy in that as well. There's a comedy in him being able to control situations, just make everyone shut up in a cafe while he's thinking. But there's also like he's like a spoilt brat, and like
yes.
And there's something about his character that's really compelling when you get to know him better. That this one thing that bothers him is he can't control this one person.
All right, let's get Jessica Jones on the list, shall we?
I think so.
Let's do Jessica Jones at a later.
Can I say time. I think Daredevil is worth persevering with, Jack, if only to get to the stuff with the Kingpin, because I think that'll really appeal to you.
Well, you see, on my list at the moment, it's Narcos is number one, and then it's between this and Gotham. Of what to carry on with, and at the moment,
do this because Gotham is a box of shit.
Oh, I was going to carry on with Gotham.
It's a really prettily decorated box, but then you open it, and you go, "Oh no!"
I disagree.
Someone sent me a big pile of shit.
I think it knows itself way better than it achieves its own brief better than Daredevil does.
Maybe on an overarching sense, but on a base level, just like watching it moment to moment, Gotham is fucking terrible.
The why you would start any series before the fun bit happens, you know. Daredevil starts when it's like, oh, he's a superhero, now we're going to fight stuff. Gotham went, well, all this fun stuff happens later, but let's start years before that when it's not that fun.
Just a minute, were you two on this podcast last week?
No.
I was, yeah, but we weren't talking about Gotham. It was 2 weeks ago.
So you were... So how much have you watched of Gotham?
About 10 minutes.
Well, shut up. With one paragraph, Matt can undo an entire podcast worth of work, and he's watched 10 minutes. And Tiernan,
that is such a good point that Tiernan made, though. Like
what?
They are starting Gotham, and all you're thinking is, well, I want to wait till Batman arrives, and he's got another 20 years to go. And it does kind of lose something in the fact that you kind of the exciting stuff is quite a way off, you know.
But we've seen all that exciting stuff. This exciting stuff is different. Yeah, all these characters backstabbing each other. How much have you watched, Tiernan?
Yeah, very little.
Right, shut the hell up. I'm absolutely...
I just went, it's not for me, I don't care. And then I turned it off.
Okay.
And I watched enough to be absolutely revolted with it.
Yeah, yeah. I really think that you are... This is the first conversation we had in the podcast about Gotham. And then we realised that actually there was a lot more to learn about it. Let's not repeat podcasts. Let's presume that the people who appear on the podcast actually listen to the fucking podcast. And then, and then the people who do listen to it don't have to listen to the same conversation twice.
To be fair, I did listen to your Gotham podcast. podcast.
Yeah, it was rubbish. also, I think that there's, and this is my terrible Marvel bias, but I do think like there's always a Marvel DC, which one's better? But most Marvel characters have serious, you know, have serious flaws. Daredevil's blind. Spider-Man's a broke teenager. And DC, it's like Batman's rich and he's bored at night. And yes. You go, come on, mate, why don't you just contribute to society and pay your taxes and, you know, help things out that way?
Could argue that what DC are doing are arguing the large moral questions of the world rather than exciting the seven-year-old boy in you.
I think that's exactly the opposite of what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite, yeah.
Really? What's the morality, isn't it?
He's super and he's got red pants. That's for seven-year-olds.
Not with Batman. With Batman, they go in... You know, and Superman, isn't it? Isn't the fun... It's about vigilantism and... not. I forget Superman. That's a really bad example. But.
Well, that's the Nolan Batman you're talking about. But at its base thing, Batman is just a crime fighter. Where they're all crime fighters, but Batman's a super, super rich man who arguably could do more good if he just used his money.
Which is the debate, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not the debate. That just happens to be the circumstance.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah.
It's never like that. No one ever sort of discovers that Batman is Bruce Wayne and goes, hey, why don't you set up a charity that can help kids? Yeah.
Okay, so Batman.
Whereas Spider-Man spends his entire life dealing with the fact that he will always hurt the people around him and how he'll never be able to be close to anyone because of this power that he has, which he has to use.
And has to work in order to keep his Aunt May in her house, and, you know, he's got all these poverty issues, and, yeah, there's a lot more to it.
Great. I think we could probably argue our way out of any comic book if we wanted to. Whereas, you know, Daredevil, on the other hand, that is what we were supposed to be talking about. So...
And Daredevil, we've already talked about the morality stuff in that with the lawyer, who's also the vigilante.
Jack, Daredevil is so engaging, we can't even talk about it for more than 25 minutes. That's the problem. I mean, look, I've just Gilmore Girls I'm watching. I've just finished Parks and Rec. I've just finished The Night Of last night.
Oh, me too.
Holy fucking shit. Whoa. Great TV series. The Stranger Things, The Get Down, all of it, Nurse Jackie, all of these things I've either just finished or I'm watching. There is no way in a million years that I would tell Jack to watch Daredevil above any of those. That's my problem with this discussion.
Yeah, I know. I think Daredevil's brilliant escapism. I really enjoy the escapism of Daredevil. I like The Night Of, which I'm sure you should talk about on another episode, but was so tense. There were times where I just had to go, oh, God, the world's horrible. Whereas, you know, in a world where we have absolutely no good real heroes at the moment, sometimes it's quite nice to watch a man dress up as a devil and kick someone's ass.
Well, that doesn't achieve the thing you're talking about, really. I mean, it's not that escapist. It is kind of real and it is kind of sad and it's got very, you know, extreme violence in it and all that. I take your point that, like, The Night Of, I've pretty much wanted to kill myself every night this week. But I've got the Gilmore Girls to sit next to that, or another person would have Parks and Rec or Chuck, or, you know, those things. That's the escapist stuff. I'm saying that this sits somewhere in a weird no man's land in between that doesn't make me want to recommend it for any reason. Okay, well done to the people who made it. Well done. But the purpose of this podcast is to say to people, what are the things that you really should, with all the options, what are the things that you should put at the top of your list and spend your time on? Is everyone around this table now really saying that it's in their top 10 if they haven't watched those other things?
I can remember really enjoying watching it, and I think it should be part of your portfolio of things that you're watching.
That is such a grey area. It was like an estate agent just undersold me a house.
No, because like everyone's watching one or two things at a time, aren't they? Like Jack's saying he's going to watch Narcos.
Yeah.
Or what was the other one, Jack?
Gotham. It's between this and Gotham.
I think if you've got room in your life for two shows, first of all, I mean, how much of Narcos have you seen?
Oh, all of it. I'm up to date.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, you're already sold on Narcos. That's another discussion. Then I would say Daredevil will complement that nicely, whereas Gotham will just...
You have no idea what you're talking about. You can't... You have no frame of reference. You have no frame of reference. Oh, dear me. Oh, Jack, look. Are you going to carry on with it?
I'm going to be honest, probably not.
I think whether we meant it or not, we've definitely talked Jack out of ever watching Daredevil again.
It's my fault. Look, it's my fault, but at the same time, you could have all put up a much stronger persuasion.
And that is the problem, is that we're not willing to fight for this. The shows I'm willing to fight for, like Deadwood... which didn't work out. I doubt any of you carried on.
It's on DVD.
And for you, Howell, that's chalk. And there's certain shows that we're all willing to fight to the death for. I'm not willing to fight to the death to make Jack watch Daredevil. I would say, if he's really ran out of stuff and he's... Oh, you know what? Just leave it. Just don't. Yeah.
I don't think if you meant think of your favourite couple of box sets, right? And then imagine asking someone who was an extra on that show, or even just a small part with two lines, asking them to defend it to the death, right? Your best shows, they would. Everyone who touched the West Wing say it was the best cast of anything that had ever been, and they'd do anything to go back and work on it. I imagine if we asked the guy who plays Foggy to defend Daredevil to the death, I don't think even he would. I don't. Yeah. I think he'd say, yeah, it's a great job. Great job. Great for the portfolio, as Matt put it.
But again, do you think, like, I wonder if this is, you know, like with Marvel, like DC are doing and Ghostbusters now and Star Wars, I don't know if it's meant to be just watched as a series. You know, like, I'm definitely invested in the whole Marvel thing as a whole. Again, I don't know if I really love Daredevil. I don't know if I'd go and watch it all over again, but I am definitely going to watch Luke Cage. I'm definitely going to watch Defenders because I've kind of bought into this now and it's the universe that I want to know more about. And
I think
that's what part of their planning with it is. I don't know if they want to make the best series ever. They want to make a series that excites you enough to watch the next one.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Which is very different to say what Breaking Bad was doing or any other, or Better Call Saul, or something like that, you know?
Let's pretend that the Marvel Universe is the entirety of Game of Thrones. Daredevil is season 5, right?
You know what? Game of Thrones is not that fucking good.
No, hang on a minute. I'm using it as a piece of a pie metaphor. I agree with Tin, and if you look at something as the whole, I think that is exciting. If you're a real Marvel fan and a real Marvel geek, then this is great to get into this world and enjoy it and bring everything that you've got to it. That's fantastic. I would love that. I would love it if there was a West Wing spin-off that wasn't remotely as popular as the original, but I would love to watch that. So for Tiernan and for Marvel fans, this is a must. For everybody else, if you are literally deciding between, you know, popping on Stranger Things or this, then I'd pick Stranger Things any day of the week. But yeah, Tin, and good point. And if that's what they went for, good on them, because they achieved it. they've made a small piece of a large puzzle, which it wasn't necessarily meant to get everybody excited about it.
I will watch series 3, though. I will.
I think it's hard. It's hard when your criteria is always, is this better than that? You know, if we're watching this in isolation and just judging it as a show, then it's a pretty good show.
That's right.
Regardless of what's around it, in a vacuum, this show is a pretty good show.
And Jack, listen to what we're saying. I am going to watch the third series, right?
Yeah. So, or if we wanted to do a direct comparison between this and Gotham, this is better than Gotham.
Let me tell you this. If Daredevil and Gotham both had a season 3 out at the same time, there is no doubt that I would watch Gotham season 3 before Daredevil. No doubt. So there you go.
Okay, the big question, Jack, is what are you more likely to watch? Daredevil?
I'm not going to lie. I think I'll watch the 4 episodes of Daredevil, but so far... it's not jumped out at me, and I can understand that it's part of a bigger puzzle, as you said, but that doesn't do anything for me. I just watch the Avengers every now and again and think, yeah, it's good.
Do you know what it is? Do you know when you have one of those books that you take forever to read and you just take it on holiday with you and like you're not compelled to come home and finish it, but you pick it up and you like it? That's what Daredevil is for me. I think
that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd go with that. I'd go with that.
Great. Well, that's that decided. What's next week? What is next week? What are we doing next week?
Somebody suggested something.
Was it Narcos?
Maybe we should. Maybe that's what we should put on the. Yeah,
we could. We could do. I mean, I've only done 2 episodes, and I struggled. So
what about the night of? Why don't we get on the night of before it's? why don't we for once be right at the beginning of something?
I'd love to do that.
Yeah,
it is brilliant.
I've never even heard of it.
I've not seen it, and I've only heard very little about it.
Right, well then that's perfect. It's on Now TV. It's going to be hard
Sky
for
Atlantic,
you.
Sky Atlantic, I think, as well.
Yeah, I'll be able to get it on Sky then, cool.
It's going to be hard for you to watch just one before next week, but please do try.
It's the whole show on Now TV.
The whole series is on there. But if you can limit yourself to episode one, then that would really help this podcast.
So the guinea pig is Matt and Jack. Have you watched it?
I've not watched it, no.
What about you, Tim? Okay. Well, you have.
I've seen all of it and feel permanently stressed for the rest of my life because of it.
Great. Okay, good.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Next week.
What's it called? It's called Time Now or something.
The Night Of.
Yeah, no, just Google search One Time Now for
a while. Just pick 3 random words.
It's called The Night Of, Jack, as in like a lawyer might say the night of the incident. Right?
I really want you to create a TV show called One Time Now.
Jack's new podcast. Ooh, speaking of which,
Two sheep when
get your 3-word title to us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. We'll judge the best next week. No one will email, but studio@theboxsetpod.com. Joe, you know, there's like 2,000 people who've listened to this podcast in the last couple of weeks. No one ever emails. Email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com, and listen to
email us with your thoughts on what's better, Gotham or Daredevil,
if you've watched both in their entirety.
You don't have to have watched Gotham. Yeah.
On this podcast stream, you're going to get a weird midweek bonus kind of episode this week. I am starting a sub-podcast, which is me chatting to people for a long time. It's going to be very boring. It's not going to be as exciting as this podcast. But me talking to creative people about how creative people are well-managed, not well-managed, how they survive a career being creative and making money. It's called Creative Kale. And it's going to appear outside the Box Set Pod. It's kind of got 2 titles. So it'll pop up on your stream. Have a listen if you like. This week I am joined by a man who was the West Wing director of photography, and it's a poor quality but excellent content conversation that we'll be having. So have a listen to that. That'll be up on Tuesday, and then your next one.
You're talking to the West Wing DOB?
That's correct, Matt. So you can enjoy that podcast on Tuesday.
It's Creative Kale.
Yeah, it's called Outside the Box Set. Outside the Box Set, Creative Kale.
As in the vegetable.
The vegetable. Yeah. Because as Justin Lee Collins suggested to me, kale is very trendy right now, so you should call it Creative Kale.
How long did you spend thinking of an alternative to Creative Juice?
Well, I just emailed Justin and said, damn it, Creative Juice is taken. He said, kale's big right now. So there we go.
Amazing.
We'll be chewing the kale on Tuesday with Director of Photography Michael Mayers from The West Wing. Join me for that or skip over it. Don't give us a bad review based on that. I don't want to bring the whole side down, okay? And we'll see you next week for The Night Of. Watch episode 1. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Jack, Daredevil's great, by the way. You should watch it. Really good. Way better than Gotham.
Do you not like martial arts?
Well, I've done Kung Fu for the last 10 years, so yeah.
Wow. Right. I mean, there's loads of it in there. There's loads of it. And he gets better.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So it goes on for too long, though.
As has this podcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye.